Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21, all right? So we've been going through a series of parables. We've done quite a few of them, haven't we? We've done the firm foundation, the man who built his house upon the solid foundation, did the Lazarus and the rich man. You guys liked that one. We did the Good Samaritan a few weeks ago. You guys, a lot of good comments on that one. Talked about loving the foreigner among us. Last week we talked about the vineyard, okay, the generous vineyard owner. And today, we're going to talk about the rich fool. Can you say that? Rich fool? Rich fool. In Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. What we're finding out, I don't know if you've picked up a few dominant themes in the parables, but one of them is God's grace, mercy, salvation message. That's come compassion. Okay, that's come through pretty strong in a lot of the parables. What else has come through in a lot of the parables? You think of some? Money. Yes, they've talked a lot about possessions, haven't we? Have we talked a lot about money and possessions, material things? That's come up quite a bit. And so it's going to come up again today, all right? I think the thing about it, Jesus talked, they say that if you go through all the parables in the Gospels, you're going to hear the kids a little bit this morning. That's a good thing, okay? So Andy's really into the worship thing. So if you hear them a little bit, just know that they are worshiping God. So that's a good thing, all right? Jesus, more than any topic in Scripture, other than salvation, but the one thing that he talked about the most was possessions and money and wealth. And he really got at this issue that I think that back then, even from probably the beginning of the creation, we wrestle with loving things more than we love God, okay? And so that is going to be kind of at the heart of our discussion today. So I want us to begin with prayer, and then we're going to dive in. Father, we just thank you for your day, this day that you have made, that you've created. We thank you for your word that is alive and it is able to speak into our lives. And Father, we just pray that our hearts are open and to hear from you. And we just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's dive into this here. So verse 13 says, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide my inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbitrator between you and your brother?" Okay? Now, just a little bit of background here. We don't know all the details. Jesus is speaking, and they must have been having a Q&A time, okay? All right? And this guy gets up, and he says, "Hey, my brother's not treating me fairly." And what we read into it is that a father must have died, and he died without a will. So if you don't have a will, do one of the best things that you can do. Go and get a will made, okay? Because I've been on the other side of that where you're doing a funeral, you're helping people out, and it's just all attention and the greed, and people wonder who's going to get what. If you're still living and you want to give things away and you want it to go to a certain person, give it away while you're living, okay? I'm serious about that. One of the things that Amy's grandma, her dad's mom, her dad's mom. There we go. We got it. One of the things she did is that before she passed away, she traveled around to the different families. She gave them things that she had that she knew they would want, and she wanted to make sure that they had them. She didn't want people fighting over them, so she just did that all before. And so she, when she came up and visited us once, she was a Catholic lady and very, very devout in that, but she gave us money towards the church. Sidewalk. She could give to the sidewalk. She couldn't give towards the building fund or anything. But she could give to the sidewalk. So she did that. And but she even helped me for my down payment on my first boat. I think she actually gave me enough money that I bought my first boat, John. Yes, a 16-foot Sullivan. So I wouldn't have been able to do it had she not been able to. She did that. But then she also had a collection of a rifle, a 22, a 303 British, and a 22, and some things like that that had been her youngest son, and he had died in a parachuting accident, and she had these. And nobody in the family liked to hunt or fish, but she knew I did. And so she says, when we were down there one time, she said, hey, if you want these. So she gave those things to me. So she distributed some of the things that were precious to her that she knew where she wanted it to go. So just some wisdom there. This man did not have that happen. His father passed away and left no will. And in the cultural setting there, it was the older brother's responsibility to divide up the inheritance. All right? Can you see where this is going? This is not the older brother. He's the younger brother. And so he's saying, Jesus, help me out here. My father passed away. My older brother's in charge of the estate, and I want my fair share of the inheritance. He's not asking for anything unreasonable. He's just wanting his fair share, okay? He's wanting to be treated justly. And that wasn't an uncommon thing to do. You go back into when Moses was leading the people of Israel, and he got to a place where he couldn't handle it all, okay? And his father-in-law comes, Jethro, and he says, you need to find godly, competent men and entrust them with some of these issues. And one of the issues was people would come to them for legal advice, disputes, arguments. Say, hey, what should we do in this situation? So Moses' time was all tied up with that. And so he began to delegate some of that, and it began to free up his time. And he took the real big cases that nobody else could handle. So it wasn't uncommon for people to come to religious leaders and say, hey, we have an issue here. What should we do about it? And so this man comes to Jesus and says, hey, I'm not being treated fairly by my older brother. Can you help me out here? Now, Jesus doesn't help him out, does he? He kind of does. He doesn't answer his question, though. All right. So instead of weighing in on the issue, Jesus is going to go to a deeper issue. And that is our unrelenting desire for more. So I want to ask you the question, how much is enough? Material, money, how much is enough? Rockefeller, who is known as the richest man to have ever lived in the early 1900s. He was the first billionaire, okay, in the United States. He's still considered to be one of the richest people in the world in modern history because he was a billionaire back in the early 1900s. But when he was asked by a reporter how much money is enough, do you know what his response was? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Grant Sabatier, I don't know if you know him. I don't know who he is either. All I know is he had some good stuff on the internet, okay? But he does some of this issues with money, financial planning and money. And he goes, I've asked friends, people sitting next to me at airports and just at gatherings, and I've asked them the question, how much money is enough? And he goes, I get three answers. One is more. Two, there's never enough. Three, $1 million, all right? And $1 million, now you win the lottery, you get what? How much? $260 million? It's kind of like, wow. I could just use $286. That would be great. And he goes on to say that many wear themselves out. He said he got stuck in that trap too, wearing themselves out, always in that idea of more. I need more. How much is enough? He goes, there's some questions you need to ask yourself. First, he goes, you need to look in the mirror, okay? So if you have your phone with you, you could actually put it on so it's looking at you, since some of you ladies might have a mirror. But you need to look in the mirror, and you need to ask yourself six questions. He says, what kind of life do you want to live? And not all these are spiritual, but I think they're good questions. What kind of life do you want to live? What do you really love? Ooh. What is my mission? That's a fairly spiritual. What is your mission in life? What does a perfect day look like for you? I like the day at the beach, or a day. I probably prefer a day of snorkeling at the beach in Hawaii. Okay, I could do that. Would I want to do that every day? No, no. But I could handle it once a year, okay? Because then I'd enjoy it. What truly makes me happy? And what do I want my legacy to be? Ooh, do I want to be known as a person that kept all the money for myself or one that was generous? What do I want my legacy to be? And he goes, and then the second set of questions that you need to ask is that really defines what is enough. How much do I need to live the life that I want to live? Okay. How much do I need to take care of my family's basic needs? What really? You know, what do I need to live a month? For a month to take care of my family's needs. Food on the table, clothes, house. How much do I need? How much money do I need to maximize my happiness? What is the minimum amount of money I need to need each month to live the life I want? And how much money do I need to help others? So some of those are a little more on the secular side, but these are still not bad questions, folks. He figured, he went through and he goes, you know what? If I had $50,000 a year, I can get in two vacations and take care of my family and provide for myself and live the life that I want. That's not much above the average income in Nebraska. So it wasn't even $1 million, was it? And he felt, you know what? I can take care of my needs. I can provide for my family. I can even get in two paid vacations every year. That's pretty cool, isn't it? These questions are important because think about what people do with extra money, surplus money. What do they do with it? Okay, they win the lottery. They have a bumper crop. They get an inheritance. When I was in Belize on a missions trip, we stayed at this, it was supposed to be a motel or a place to stay, and the missionary was really embarrassed because we get there and they had turned it into, instead of this kind of this inn, they turned it into a treetop resort type of deal. So it was up on stilts because it was next to a river. But there was no privacy, okay? So you'd go into the shower and there was this little thatch fence right there. So for a guy, it probably wouldn't have been too bad. For a woman, it's kind of like, you're out there. You're just out there. The missionary was just embarrassed, but he had booked it, so we made the best of it. We just kind of wore our swimming suits when we were in the shower. But she got this because she had inheritance money come her way, so she bought this little resort and was remodeling it and doing a terrible job of managing it. So we spend it, right? You get that money, and you spend it on things that you normally want, and you don't know how to manage it. So you can hide it, right? Some people would hide it. Some people flaunt it. Okay, going to go clothes, cars, whatever. They're going to flaunt it. Expensive trips. Maybe you're going to upgrade your lifestyle. You're going to buy more toys. And I don't think they're talking about Tonka trucks. All right. Acquire power. Maybe use it to kind of manipulate power there. Some people even ruin their life with it, don't they? So, having surplus money, I think it's good to know how we are going to spend it. Be thinking about that. What is God? So I want to see what God has to say, okay? So the first thing we see in verse 15, let's look at verse 15. So Jesus says to the man, and he says to all those that are there, he says, watch out! Did I scare you? See, it's exclamation mark. I'm just reading it the way it's supposed to be. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Why? Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Now, that the word in the original language really means to watch out. Hey, you're about ready to step into, right? You're walking along the trail and it drops off. Wouldn't you want to say somebody say, watch out! Don't fall over the cliff. That's what they're saying here. Jesus is saying, watch out, because there is something dangerous in possessions and material things. We don't have too many poisonous snakes unless you go out to the western part, okay? But again, in Belize, they had this Tommy's, it's a viper, and it would be in the sugar cane, and so it was a sneaky snake, and some snakes, when they see people, they will go away and not harm you, but they're sneaky. They'll just wait for you, and when you get close, they bite you, and you're dead. Just a matter of seconds, you're dead. They'll just find the people laying dead in the sugar cane. I didn't want to go out in the sugar cane. I don't know about you, but I didn't want to go out there, okay? Big ones. They were big, too. And so whenever they worked in the sugar cane, they always worked in pairs of two at least, so that if one got bit, they could help them out, all right? The idea here is we need to be on our guard. We need to watch out from these dangerous things. Greed is something, is desiring something that we don't have, right? It doesn't usually involve necessity. It involves wants, things that we want. Not things that we need, but things that we want, above and beyond what we need to live. And there's different types of greed. You know, it says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. So what are some types of greed that we deal with? Greed for what? Huh? More money. Okay, what else? Control. Yeah, control. Yeah. Sometimes it falls that. Sometimes it's just clothing, right? We want clothes. There was that, I saw it, I don't know how many times watching football yesterday. The commercial is the eBay commercial. How many saw it? Okay, she sees a dress, so she goes to her phone, finds a dress on eBay. Okay, and then she wears the dress to a party, she sets down a purse, and then another person wants the purse. Right? Greed, isn't it? Kind of on that idea of greed. Oh, I see what that, I need that. Okay? I don't really need it, I want it, right? It's just fueled on greed, okay? Greed is desiring more than what we need to live on. And at the source of greed is what? It's a fear of what? Did you know there's a fear there? It's a fear that I won't have enough. That's what greed is about. I hoard and I get things because there's a fear that I won't have enough. I won't be like the Joneses, right? I won't be like the neighbors. I won't have what they have. And so there's this fear of not enough, of not being accepted, of not having enough. And that's what fuels greed. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying anything along the lines that I should not save or that we should not save, we shouldn't have emergency savings, or that we shouldn't have some form of retirement. As we're going to see, it has to do with going above and beyond a normal savings or providing for ourselves. All right? So the first principle that we see here, is it up there? First principle is life is more than possessions. That's what he says here, right? He says a man's life or a woman's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. If that was the case, all rich people would be happy. And they are not happy. That's why they're in drug and alcohol programs, right? Right? Because they're not happy. Those things, they've achieved success in the world's eyes, but now they're in drug and alcohol programs trying to get their life figured out. They have fame, they have popularity, they have money, they have the possessions, the things that we are all desiring because we want to be in those programs too. Right? No. But do you get? We all want this American dream, and it's won't lead us to sometimes where we want to go many times. That's why Jesus says, watch out. Be on your guard. John Wesley, who is the founder of the Methodist movement, and then you even have the Wesleyan movement, great preacher, but what he determined, he knew how much he needed to live upon. Okay, I think he was England and United States. But he determined how much he needed to live on. Okay? So you can get that figure up in your brain. What do you need to live on every month? Okay, got it there? And whatever came in above and beyond that, he gave away. He goes, I don't ever want money to control me or to have develop a hold on me. So he determined what he needed to live, and the rest, whatever came in above and beyond that, he gave away to God's work, to needs, but he gave it away. So the first point is life is more than possessions. If you need possessions to be happy, we need possessions to live, okay? And that's what, after our passage, you'll see Jesus goes into the passage on seek ye first the kingdom of God, Luke's version of that. Jesus knows that you need transportation. He knows that you need clothes. He knows that you need food, okay? He knows you need those things. All right? But we are to put Him first. Life is more than possessions. Those things will not make you happy. They're not going to fill the hole in your heart. Number two, let's go on to verses 16. To answer his question further, he tells him a parable. Okay? And so he told them this parable, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. All right? Bumper crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Andy's getting a kick out of the elevators, okay? They don't have those in Tucson. All right? So this man had no more quonsets, no more grain bins. They were all filled up. And he has a bumper crop. What is he supposed to do? He goes, I'm going to tear down, right? I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, okay, he's talking to himself, self, you have plenty of good things laid up for many, many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And that be merry part really is an expression. You ever worked a hard day and you sit down and you go, whew. Everybody do that together. Ready? And that's what he was saying. There's nothing wrong with that when you put in a hard day. But he was saying that, you know what? I'm done for the rest of my life. Got my barns built. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to just have my beach and I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to do anything else. That's how he spent his surplus. Now, there's interesting things about this story. One, the rich man took credit for all that he had, did he not? Did he own the land? Kind of. He maybe owned the land. Did he create the land? No. Did he provide the water that watered his grain and gave him the bumper crop? Nope. Who was responsible for that? God. All right. Did God provide the sunshine and the warmth and the right conditions? Yeah, God did it. He didn't, right? And so God provided this bumper crop for this man, but the man says, you know what, it's all mine, and I'm going to spend it on me. He did not give any God any credit, and some of it, you know, he had to go out and plant the corn or whatever the crop was. He had to go out and plant it. He had to harvest it, but he took the credit for all of it. And what we learn in this is that we are all stewards of what God has placed in our care, whether it's land, livestock, plants, housing, people, natural talents, good health. If you have good health, that's a gift, isn't it? It could be taken away just like that. We have some responsibility, but there's times that stuff happens to people that's beyond their control, and it's gone. I wish I could go back 20 years. How many are there with me, right? Can't go back. Time. Time's a gift from God, folks. It's yours. He entrusts it to us as a gift, but it's a gift from God. Wealth. If God has blessed you and blessed you with talent and a mind, or maybe you came into a family situation where you inherited some wealth, a farm or a business, that's a gift from God. Not everybody has that handed to them. I've been in countries where it's just not there. You are blessed. Even some of you that think you don't have much, you're blessed far beyond measure compared to much of the world. You're so blessed. Was that your choice? Not really. Wasn't your choice where you were born, where you were raised? That you're here right now, that's a gift from God. These are all gifts that God has placed in our care. He calls us to be steward of all that He has given us. The man did not need to tear down his old barns and build new ones. He could have filled up his storage, his savings, right? And as a farmer, you need to do that, right? Well, one, because maybe the prices aren't where they need to be. But number two, you're going to have a bad year here and there, right? You're going to have a good year and have a bad year. So you have storage. There was nothing wrong with that. His error is that he tore down his old barns, built new ones that were bigger, and he was greedy. He saved up way more than was necessary, and he failed to give away and help out others that maybe were in need. The second point, Material possessions belong to God, who gives them as gifts. Who gives them as gifts. Ambrose, he was an early church father, we would call him, in the 4th century. He says, the things that we cannot take away with us are not ours. He says, compassion alone will follow us. What is he saying? The things that we cannot take with us are not ours. What do you mean, take with us? Where are we going? Well, someday we're all going to die, right? Hopefully go to heaven. Okay, what can you take with you when you go there? Oh, really? Your soul, right? He says, anything that we cannot take with us is not ours. Interesting, isn't it? It's a gift from God. 1 Timothy 6, Paul tells Timothy, a young pastor, young minister, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, to be content. For we brought nothing into this world, we can take nothing out of it. Touching upon what Ambrose said. But if we have food and if we have clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, so notice he doesn't say money, right? He says the love of money. This, do I have enough? Okay? For the love of money is the roots of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered far from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Okay? They've run into a thorn patch and they are stuck. All right? You ever run into a thorn patch and you just get all stuck with thorns? There was a sign there that said, beware. Don't go there! They said, oh, I can go there. You know, and all of a sudden they're, it's a thorn place. The love of money is the roots of all kinds of evil. If as Christians we can understand that He owns it all, even our soul and our very life, and that He's given it to us and we're to be stewards of it, I think, to provide for ourselves and the needs that are around us and to for God's kingdom, I think that's where true happiness is. Let's move on to the third point. Verse 21. Well, let's do verse 20. I didn't really touch upon 20, did I? Verse 20 says, but God said to him, he said what? You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. So God says, your time's up. You had a bumper crop, spent it all on yourself. Your fun is over. You're coming up here into eternity. And see, this man had prepared for his life on earth, but he failed to prepare for where? For heaven. And for eternity. Verse 21. This how then will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. See, saving is not the issue. Hoarding it all for ourselves is the issue. The more that wealthy people become, the more wealth that they have, the more they tend to withdraw from people in society. People who manage their wealth in a healthy way learn to practice generosity. Why do you think that is? There's a movement now, some of the millionaires and billionaires out there, they are doing a better job, I think, of giving, philanthropy, giving to needs. Why? I think, anybody know? If you give, it helps to reduce the potential that money's going to control you and hold you. You're able to give and be generous. It releases control of those possessions. And also, at Christmas, is it better to receive a gift or to give a gift? It is, isn't it? Yeah, why is that? Why is it better to give than receive? Yeah, He makes others happy, isn't it? Huh. So when I go out and spend money myself, we think that that's going to make us happy. But if we go out and bless others, sometimes there's a far greater joy that we miss out on, isn't there? See, God doesn't want us to be miserable. He wants us to enjoy life and to be happy. But if we go the way of the world, it leads to isolation and greed, and you're going to be the stooge, okay? The Grinch of Christmas. But if we are generous and use what God has entrusted with us to provide for our home, our family, and to be generous towards others, towards God, I believe we experience the life that He desires for us. The third principle is abundant life is found in generosity towards God, not ourselves. It is found in generosity towards God, not ourselves. I like to have a little bit extra money. I've been in places where you just have enough money to provide for the bare necessities. I've been there, okay? When we lived in Springfield, it was that way. Even a few times here, you know, sending kids to college is not cheap, especially two or three of them at a time. So I've been there, okay? And I don't like being there. Why? Because you don't really have an opportunity to be a blessing to other people. It's hard to be generous when you're barely providing for yourself. But if you have a little bit of surplus and things are going well, you can be generous and you can give to people, all right? That's one of the things with Dave Ramsey. If you follow some of his principles getting out of debt, that's one of the big things, because why? It can free you up to do some of the things that God is calling you to do, to be generous, to bless other people, and to help other people. But you can't do that if you are covered up in debt and you're not caught up. And so that's what his big push is. We need money to live. We've covered that. All right. Jesus was not making light of the man's request or the injustice of his older brother. What Jesus was getting to the heart to was, you know what? He was concerned for the man's request, but he wanted to get at the heart of the issue, saying, you know what? If your life is totally built on whether you get those possessions, that inheritance or not, life is not about that. Life is about being balanced and giving back to God and living with what He's given us. We don't get the impression that the man was living in poverty. We don't get the impression that he was poor. He just wanted that extra that was out there, didn't he? Andy read that passage in verse 42 of Psalms, chapter 42, verse 1. Let me have the musicians come. This verse, these first two verses, David is in kind of a difficult place. He's actually probably running for his life. He's lost his joy. Things are difficult. Feels a little bit like the deer that's on the run that's being hunted. But this came when I was at Shrine Mont in April. This verse kind of came alive through one of the books I was reading. But it just talked about that in Israel, there was three types of water, three different quality levels. The poorest quality was a cistern. Anybody ever drink water out of a cistern? Yeah. Okay. It's cold, but it's rainwater that's been collected and it's been sitting there. It's okay. But it's not the best. The next quality of water would be a well. Okay, it was well water. Wells in those days were hard to dig, and the quality could vary. Some of it could be good, some of it could be bitter. Okay, salty or different things. So it was varying, but it was usually better than a cistern. The best quality of the water was the streams. The streams, they're bubbling, they're oxygenated, fresh. There wasn't mold or algae sitting on it like some of the lakes in Nebraska, right? It was fresh, it was alive. And often they called that water living water because it was fresh, it was alive. Now listen to what David says in Psalms 42. As the deer pants for the streams, the living water, so my soul pants for my God. My soul thirsts for the living God. The living God, where can I go and meet with Him? You know, God, we try to fill our life with other things to find satisfaction in this life. And one of those ways is in possessions. We want to be accepted. We want significance. We don't want to live in the fear that we're not going to have enough. Okay? And that's why we do need to have a little bit of a savings, folks. That's not stupid. But what's enough? What's enough? Ramsey says 3 to 6 months. You have 3 to 6 months savings, income. Okay, so whatever you need to live on every month, you have that saved up for 3 to 6 months. That's adequate, okay? And then you have your retirement and stuff. You don't need $286 million in the bank, okay? If you have it, great. But you don't need that to live. You don't need that to be happy. I'm thinking about the lottery, Mary, so
yes.
I don't know, how much was it? I don't even know what it was this last time. I lost track. Somebody up in the Northeast won it. I don't know. But Israel had this water, and they sought after it. I think we try to fill ourselves with poor quality things to fill the hole in our heart. As the deer pants for the living water, so my soul longs for the living God. Augustine, another church father, who's actually a student at Ambrose, said, "My soul is restless until it finds its rest in Thee, O God. My soul is restless until it finds its rest in God." Possessions will come and go. We've witnessed that the past couple weeks with the hurricanes, Harvey and Irma. Possessions come and go, right? You can have insurance, you can have all that, but... And possessions come and go, don't they? They had a fire a week ago. Lost some of the things in their home. But when we live each day as a gift and handle the things that God has given us as gifts and that He's entrusted with us to provide for our needs and to further His kingdom. If you want your mansion on the hillside, you better start investing now. All right? The rich fool didn't do that. He spent it all right now, here and now. But Jesus says, eternity is going to be a lot longer than our short stop here on earth. This time goes by fast. Eternity is forever. Augustine also said, the rich fool did not realize that the bellies of the poor were a much safer storeroom than his barns. Isn't that good? The bellies of the poor would have been a much safer place for his surplus than his barns. That's something to think about. If you honor God with your tithes and your offering, He'll bless you. And you're going to further His kingdom. And know what? Even beyond that, I think you're going to find a greater joy and happiness, an abundant life. That's what God wants for each of us. He wants us to enjoy God's abundance. And He tries to show us the way. So He says, beware! Watch out for that! Those possessions and material things. There's thorns there. There's cliffs. There's hazards. Stay on this path. Stay on this path. Then you'll experience my blessing, my joy, my happiness. Amen? Man, would you stand this morning? I'm going to close with a new chorus. It's entitled Christ is Enough. And, amen. And just as we are, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? And I'm short on people this morning, so... Kaylee, can you have your mom? Christy, would you join me up for prayer here this morning? Sorry, short notice on that, but if you have a need or request, we'll be up here this morning to pray for those things. But will you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? I have to point enough fingers at myself, so I'm not pointing any fingers at you. You, the Spirit of God knows where you're at on all these things. And God isn't wanting to hit us over the head with a sledgehammer or a baseball bat. He's wanting us to show a loving way that we can honor Him and glorify Him and enjoy His happiness and His peace. Amen? Yeah. So, would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? If He's speaking to you, just listen to Him. And maybe there's some changes that need to happen in just how you look at life and how you manage your finances. So, would you just take a few moments to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you as we sing this chorus? If you need prayer this morning, would you join us up front here? Think of this message. I have a picture of the first time I taught in Jamaica. That's when I had the two hurricanes in a week away from each other. It's my first time teaching kind of outside this country. Christiana is in the center of Jamaica, so if you've been to Jamaica, you've probably been to the resorts and some beautiful resorts there that I have not been to, but they are beautiful. The beaches, when I have flown over them, they're beautiful. But you get out from those resort areas, there's a lot of poverty there. A lot of poverty. So Christiana is in the center of the island. It's where the Bible college is at. Just kind of a humble thing. But I just remember we'd go on a walk usually in the afternoons. And we'd walk up this hill that kind of overlooked the town. And as we're walking up this trail, it's kind of a road, but as you walked up this trail, you're going by homes, folks, that are a 10 by 10 structure, steel, corrugated steel for walls and a roof. Some of it is probably blown from the last hurricane. But that's what not just a person will live in, but it's what a whole family will live in. Eight people would live in that. But as I'm walking up the one day, there was some boys that were playing, and you know, how many, if you're a boy, you've probably gone down a hill in a wagon, right? Anybody remember that? You know, probably crashed it once or twice. But they had these carts they would use to take produce into town for the markets. They would sell in the markets on the streets there. And so they had this thing, and it had this steering wheel, just wood and some wheels. I mean, it wasn't as good as some of the wagons that we have. Okay? But they were taking it up the hill, and they were pushing each other down. They were just having a blast doing it, just laughing. And I looked at that, and I thought, you know, all you need to make a boy happy is give him a wagon, right? You know, but I was looking at all their poverty, and I was thinking, man, they just don't have much. And yet there was a joy and a happiness there. Why? Because they weren't comparing it to what we have in America, what they've seen on TV. They probably didn't have TV. They were just enjoying what they had. And see, what sometimes steals our joy is that we look at what everybody else has instead of godliness with contentment, finding that great gain, right? And sometimes we don't need as much as we think to be happy and to enjoy the joy of the Lord. If God blesses us, great. But I think God has set up, even within tithing, just to set up that mechanism that we don't get caught in that trap that it's always on us. That maybe God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. One more story. When I go to the Bahamas, I taught once in the Bahamas. That church was started by a rich businessman in his 50s. He was too young to be retired, but he would take the whole winter months, 2-3 months in the wintertime, and he would take his sailboat, which probably cost $1 million, and he would sail it down to Exuma of Bahamas. So it's a nice place that people like to go with their yachts because it's sheltered and protected there. And he would go down there. So God's blessed him. Blessed him as a businessman. And he's enjoying some of it. But they didn't have a church there. And so he began the process of getting people together and helped build a nice, beautiful building there so that they could have a church there. And so when I taught there, I taught in that building. It was really rough, folks, really rough. I walked a block, and I was on a white sandy beach with nobody on it. It was really rough. I'm serious. It was a white sandy beach, and it was nobody on it. Sandals was just down the waves, but there was nobody on it. If you want to get a white sandy beach, go to Exuma. So, but here's a wealthy businessman. God's blessed him, but he's also learned to give it away. Okay. So, Father, this morning, you've given us your word. And to the crowd that day, and to the man that was stressed out about getting his inheritance, it didn't seem like he was worried about having enough for the next day. He was just worried about that inheritance money that was out there that he maybe wasn't going to get. And instead of settling this dispute, Jesus, you just spoke to his heart that life is not about possessions. It's about knowing you and using the gifts that you've given us to provide for ourselves and to glorify you. And Lord, you have to speak to all of our hearts and all that. You've given us some systems to follow. So, Father, if we follow those systems and your guidance, we're going to stay on the right path that is safe, that is happy, that is abundant. You want us to have an abundant life. And so, Lord, I pray that you go with us this week. As just in our time with you, Lord, help us to navigate this and to know your joy and your happiness. We give you the thanks and the praise this day, and we ask it in your name. And everybody said, shake hands with everybody and say, enjoy God's abundant life.